We do give Him all the glory. Amen. To God be the glory. Okay, Bill is going to pray before the service, and he's going to introduce our first-time guest speaker.
Well, good morning. Glad you're all here and looking forward to having fellowship with you and taking care of some physical needs and feeding you spiritually, which is critical to sustaining your life.
Amen.
And existence. I'll just open up in the word of prayer, and then I'll tell you about this young man standing to my left. Father, we thank you for this day, this glorious day that you have given. God, thank you for always being in control. Even when we do not recognize it, we do not give you credit, we don't understand it. Even when we're going through storms, you're with us upon our entire journey. God, may you just take today to use our brother Mark to speak through him. May he be an oracle, a mouthpiece for you to share your truth, to lift our countenances, to draw us closer to the kingdom, and maybe even draw you into the kingdom. Bless this day, Lord, as only you can. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, there's several years ago, I met this guy standing to my left. He was 6 years old.
Wow.
Started coming to my church. So I watched him grow up. He's got a twin brother, too, by the way. Not near as good looking, by the way. I know. But even as a young man, he's coming into Sunday school, and he's hunger. He's hungry for God's Word. He had a very unique countenance about him, and you could see that God's going to do something special with this one. Now, I got to admit, when he took his first mission trip with me out to Oklahoma, back when he was a freshman in high school, I had my doubts. Hey, Bill, what do you want me to do? I want you to go back and brush your teeth and comb your hair and come back out here and talk to me again, Mark. True that? Because he was just excited and ready to get about God's work.
Thank you, Jesus.
And then I just watched him grow and mature. And what a blessing to see someone you've invested time in to become everything you hoped he would and a whole lot more.
Amen.
Mark's been called into the ministry. He's a youth pastor now. He's one of the best musicians I've ever heard lead worship. He's just gifted. And that's not to give him a big head. That's to admit the work that God has done in his life. So with that, I'll open with a verse, 1 Timothy 4:12. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young. Set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. You know, sometimes when somebody's younger, you think, their message doesn't matter. And Peter encouraged his brother Timothy, who he left behind to carry on his ministry, that there's got to be the Timothys to keep it going. This old guy's getting old. His mission journeys might be coming to an end. Last year, this youth pastor from a different church brought a whole team on the mission trip with us to Oklahoma. This young man led his team.
Thank you, Jesus.
Just like I used to lead him. That's what it's all about. I give you Mark Shantz.
Amen. Thank you, brother.
Thank you, Bill, for that introduction. Thank you, everyone. I really appreciate it. Yeah, I am super thankful to be here, super privileged. As Bill mentioned, I am a youth pastor, and so I'm kind of used to speaking to students. And the message I'm going to bring this morning is actually one that I've shared with students before and that I've kind of adapted for us. One thing Bill didn't mention is that when I was in youth group at Jackson Friends, we actually would come here to Jesus Said Ministries about once a month. And it was a great time for me in those formative years getting to serve. And so now it's a huge privilege for me to be back here standing in front of you. And so I believe this morning that God is going to speak through me, that God's going to speak to all of us, that as we jump into his word, that he has good things to share with all of us that will encourage us, that will bless us, that will help us to grow in Him. So this morning's message, like I said, it's one that I had originally shared with students and I've kind of adapted for us today. It's called, You Can't Earn It. And just to open up, I want everyone to think about something in your life that you feel like you have had to earn. Think about a time in your life when you've had to earn something. Almost all of us have those things in our lives that we believe that we've needed to work hard for and achieve. And maybe we feel like we've achieved some of those things. Maybe we feel like we've been able to earn those things. Or maybe on the other hand, we might feel like there are things that we set out to do, things that we aspired to gain or to be, and that we fell short of that we weren't able to earn what it was we were working for. In my own life, I tried to think of a few examples of things that I have in the past wanted to earn or achieve. And I thought of all the way back to when I was in middle school or high school and I was in band. I played saxophone and tuba and bassoon in the band. And in band, a lot of times you're trying to earn your chair, earn your spot, work hard to do that. So that's something I felt like I had to earn. In school, I always wanted to do well. I sought to get good grades because I thought that would be a good way to have a good future that would lead me toward something good in my life. With different jobs that I've held, I wanted to work hard, earn money through that. Felt like I would need to earn money and achieve by putting forth my best effort. In fitness, as I've pursued walking and running, those kind of things, or weight loss, I felt like I've had to earn that. And sometimes even I feel a need to earn respect from people. And sometimes that can be real, sometimes that can be imagined. But those are things in my life that I felt like I have needed to earn. See, earning and rewards is a big part of our culture, of the culture of the world around us. For many of us, this mentality begins when we're little kids. When we behave well, when we're on our best behavior, we get special privileges and treats. And vice versa, when we don't behave well, we're punished for that bad behavior. We're punished for doing what is wrong. We're taught that if we do what's right and if we give it our best effort, then we can earn good things for ourselves. And this mentality continues on as we get older. Those who seem like they have more, or those who are high achieving, are generally looked upon as like the self-made man or self-made people, that they've earned that for themselves. And vice versa, if we have less, maybe culture looks down on us and says that we haven't worked hard enough, that we haven't done what's right to be able to earn what it is that we want to achieve. And even you hear people reference the American dream. And really with the American dream, it's all about what you can earn, what you feel like you have worked hard for yourself to get. So this is a large part of the message that our culture sends. But this is why the gospel is so radical. This is why the gospel is so earth-shattering compared to this cultural message of earning things for ourselves. And it's because the gospel gives us what we could never earn, which is God's love and God's grace. I'll say that again. The gospel gives us what we could never earn, which is God's love and God's grace. How many of you in here, you can raise your hands for this. How many of you in here have felt like you've had to earn God's love before? If you have ever felt like you've had to earn God's love, go and raise your hand. You can be honest and admit it. And I know for me personally, I've been there too. There have been times in my life when I felt like I've had to earn God's love, that if I just did enough right things, then God would accept me back into His presence. When I was growing up, I had this misconception of God that He was like Santa Claus, like a big Santa Claus in the sky, that He would give good gifts to us if we're good and if we behave well, and then if we're bad, that He'll punish us, kind of like how Santa is said to give you coal on Christmas if you don't behave well throughout the year. I thought that God was like that too, that if I could just be on my best behavior, that I could get good things from Him. But if I behave poorly, behave badly, then God would give me coal, or that God would punish me in some sort of way. And what I was doing was I was taking this cultural model that I grew up with that was all around me, and I had applied it to my relationship with God. I thought that if I didn't do enough right things, that if I didn't serve well enough, then God would leave me, or that somehow He'd remove me from His presence. And it wasn't until I truly encountered Jesus, the real Jesus, that I had a shift in my thinking, a major shift for me to realize that I didn't have to be good enough to be accepted by God. And even now that I've been walking with the Lord for at least 10 years or so, I still daily have to remember that it's not about my being good enough. It's not about my working to earn my place in God's presence. But that God loves all of us, that God loves me, that God loves all of you right here, right now. So here are a couple truths that we can remember if we feel like we're trying to be good enough to get into God's presence, or if we're fighting that mentality of being good enough to earn God's love. The first is that we can never be good enough to earn favor from God. We can never, by our own works, our own merits, earn our place in God's presence. And this is because we've all sinned against God. This is because we've all done wrong things against the Lord. Ecclesiastes 7, chapter 7, verse 20 says this: "Indeed, there is no one on earth who is righteous. There is no one who does what is right and never sins." So it doesn't matter who we are, where we come from, what our background is. That's one thing that we all have in common in here, is that we've all sinned against God. At some point, each one of us has said no to God. We've all done things that are wrong that separate us from Him. We've all held rebellious attitudes in our hearts against Him. And as good as we can try and be, we can never take away the wrong things that we've done. We simply can't undo the damage of our sin. Think about a judge in a courtroom. A judge in a courtroom would not be fair if a criminal walked in and he decided just to excuse that guilt. He decided to just say that guilt wasn't a big deal. That would not be a just judge. In the same way, God does not just excuse our sin. He does not just let it go. We've all done wrong things against God, and so then we can't earn a place of acceptance with Him. But then the other good truth in this is that we don't have to be good enough to be accepted by God, because He loves us as we are. 1 John 4:10 says this: "This is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us, and that He sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." So in this relationship, God makes the first move toward us. We don't somehow win God's approval. We couldn't somehow earn His favor so that He would love us and decide to send His Son for us. Rather, it's the 2,000 years ago, before we ever took a breath, while we still would have sinned against God anyways, while we still would have rejected Him, God loved us, made that first move in the relationship, and chose to send His Son for us. He chose us before we ever would have chosen Him. And this is amazing truth, that God loves us as we are. And so we can rest in knowing that God loves us right here, right now, that He offers us grace even in these moments. And though we've sinned against God, and though we have this guilt that we can't get rid of, like we talked about earlier with that Ecclesiastes verse, God offers us true forgiveness through Jesus' sacrifice. The cross makes a way for us to be made clean. So this unearned love of God, this unconditional love of God that pursues us, this changes everything in our lives. It's this endless love of His that drove Him to send His Son to the cross for us, so that our sin could be paid for, so the guilt that we have that could be taken away, so that we could come back to God. And Paul writes about this in the book of Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 2, here's what Paul says about us if we've chosen to accept what Jesus has done, if we've chosen to accept this mercy. Paul writes, "But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages He might show the incomparable riches of His grace expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus." So this is amazingly good news. This is amazing truth for all of us who, like we talked about before, we're stuck in sin. We have this guilt that we can't get rid of. The wrong things that we've done against God make us spiritually dead, but Jesus makes us alive in Him, and we can have a new relationship with God because of Christ. Jesus reaches out to each one of us, and He invites us to join Him as friends and as followers. It's sin that keeps us trapped and headed toward death, but Jesus loves us, and He wants to make us alive, to forgive us and make us whole again. But not only that, God wants to give every single one of us a new future. Sin takes away our future. It robs us of anything good that God might have in store for us. But God wants to give us a new reality. God wants to write a new story for our lives as we move forward. Every day He shows us the purpose for which we're created. We're created by God, every single one of us, in His image, to honor Him, to live a life that is pleasing to Him. And when we come to Jesus, when we're redeemed, then He shows us purpose for everything that we do. He gives us a new purpose for everything that we pursue in our lives. And He teaches us to walk in obedience to Him. And this doesn't mean that our lives will get easier. This doesn't mean that everything will be okay for here on out. But it does mean that no matter what we experience, no matter what is going on in our lives, that we can trust that God is sovereign, that God is working through it to achieve His plans, that He's making us more like His Son, no matter what we go through in our lives. And we can have hope through every experience, because we know that God is going to use it in some way to mold us and transform us. And then finally, we know that we have an eternal resting place, an eternal life with Him in heaven. When we come to Jesus, we're guaranteed not just a purpose for every day here in this life, but we're guaranteed that there's another life. There's this world that we're in now, but then we know that we'll enter into the next world. We'll enter into the kingdom of heaven through Jesus. That one day all our suffering will end, all the difficulties that we have now, all the tribulations that we go through, they'll all be taken away, and that we'll spend eternity in the presence of the Lord, forever praising Him and giving Him the glory, because He alone deserves it. So because of this endless love, because of this unearned love that God pours out on us, we'll have a new story for our lives, an eternal story that will give Him the honor and the praise. So, as we've heard, as we've thought in our own lives about things that we've tried to earn, and as we've seen that we can't earn God's love and God's grace, that's the gift that He gives freely, the question that we have to ask ourselves then is, what can we do with this unearned love? What can we do now that we know that God gives us this grace, that He so freely rescues us from sin, and so freely gives us a new future? Well, the first thing that we can do is that we can know that we're loved right now and forever. So often, we're tempted to let this world tell us our value. So often, we're tempted to let other people speak over us what our worth is. We let this world, we let the situations that we're in, we let maybe where we're at in our lives determine what our value is. And this is okay when things are going well, when we feel like things are good with our families, or we're achieving what we want to with our jobs. This seems like it's all right for us. But then when things fall apart, we realize that this is not a good way of determining our value. The truth is that our value, no matter what our situations in life are like, no matter where we're at, our value is determined by God's love. And that while we could never earn His love, Jesus said that we were worth dying for. And when we know that we're loved by God in the right here and right now, we don't have to let this world determine our value. We don't have to let this world speak over us our worth. God alone has the final say in what we're worth and what our value is. And He showed us that value by sending His Son to die for us on the cross. The second thing that we can do with this, besides just knowing what our worth is to know that we don't have to try to earn or re-earn love from God. Once we start walking with the Lord and obeying Him, once we start pursuing what He has in store for us, it's easy for us to feel pretty good about ourselves. Once we're making good decisions and we're obeying what God has laid out, it's easy for us to go that spiritually, hey, I'm doing all right. I feel like I'm doing well with this following Jesus thing. Until we mess up again. None of us are perfect, and all of us at some point in time mess up. We start walking straight on that path, and then whatever that temptation is that we're prone to, we fall back into it. We all have this propensity to keep going back into sin. A popular hymn says it this way: prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. We all get tempted to go back into sin and to mess up from time to time. And it's easy then to go back into that mentality like we were talking about before of wanting to earn God's favor or God's love, God's blessing. But this simply isn't true. It's like if you're climbing up a mountain and we think that you climb. Sometimes we tend to think that if you climb up the mountain a certain distance and you fall back down, that you've got to start all the way at the bottom and work your way up. But God says that you can start again right from where you left off, that when you fall back into that addiction or that sin, whatever it is, that it's not like you're starting completely all over again, but that you can get up right where you left off, that you can keep pursuing the Lord, you can keep walking with Him. The forgiveness of the cross doesn't just mean that we have a place with God forever. It doesn't just mean we're accepted by Him, but the forgiveness of the cross also means that we can keep running after the Lord, because it's not by our own power or our own goodness, but it's by His goodness working through us. And then the last thing that we can do, knowing that God loves us and that we can't earn this love, is that we can respond to His invitation. Because this love that God pours out is not just, it's not just given without asking something else in return. It's not given without leading us to a response. And as I just said, no, we don't try and earn the love of God. No, we don't try and reclaim our place in His presence. But once we're accepted by Him, once we're brought to Jesus, then God calls us to something. We're not just saved from our sin, but we're also saved to obey the Lord. We're saved to walk with Him. We're saved to these lives that He has planned out for us, these lives that He has in store for us. 1 John 4:19 says this, that we love because He first loved us. So then, with this response that God calls us to, we all have to examine ourselves and invite the Holy Spirit to examine us. Have you welcomed Jesus into your own life? Have you accepted Him as your Lord and Savior? Have you said yes to following Him, to setting out on this plan that He has in store for you? And if you have said yes to Him, then what is the next step that He is calling you to take in your faith? How can you keep moving forward? How can you keep walking obediently in your relationship with Jesus? For every single one of us in this room, whether we've already invited Him in or not, God has a next step that He wants each of us to take, that He's calling each of us to take. And it's because it's that love that He has for us that draws us forward. Because God loves us, He invites us to respond and to love Him in return as He has loved us. So then, this morning is the time to respond to what the Lord is putting before you, to what God's Word says. We've heard a lot today about the free love of God, this grace that He has, these unearned gifts of forgiveness, of mercy, of a plan for our lives, of eternal life that He wants to shower us with. So I want to encourage you, don't let this time, this message, this morning, this worship service go by without receiving what's being offered to you. This gospel truth is the best news that you could ever hear, that could ever be shared with you. And now is the time to respond to what the Lord is doing. So I want to encourage you, open up your heart to what God has for you. He'll speak to you by His Spirit. You can encounter Jesus, the risen Jesus, and let Him change you and transform you. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to move into something different here. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for its truth. God, thank you for meeting us right where we are with your love and mercy. Lord, so many of us have grown up feeling like we have to earn things in our lives, feeling like that we have to earn value maybe, feeling like we have to earn acceptance. God, feeling like we have to listen to what this world says about us. And thank you, Lord, that that's not true. Thank you for your word that speaks to our hearts, speaks into our lives, and removes any lies, and helps us to recognize, Lord, who you are and what you want to do in us. God, I pray for each person that's here that they would recognize how much you love them, that they would recognize, Lord, how kind you are to them. I pray, God, that this morning each person would experience the power of your forgiveness, the power of your redemption, Jesus. Lord, thank you that while we were still against you, that while we were still turning away from you, you pursued us, God. And Lord, you'll never stop pursuing us. Lord, you know exactly what we need to hear this morning. Help us to hear it by your Spirit. We pray all this in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Okay, so before you get up, a couple things I want to make clear. The altar is open. If you want prayer, there are people here this morning that are willing to pray with you, that love you, and want you to receive the blessings that God has for you. The food is available, and it's given freely because our God loves us, because he freely gave his Son, we want to give to you as well. In fact, let's pray for that. God, bless this food. Bless this time together. Help us to encounter you even as we talk with each other. God, help us to know that you love and that you give so freely to us. You're so good to us, God. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.